Hey everybody, this is Charlie Richards, and you're listening to Hardwick Sounds.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 46 of Hardwick Sound. My name is Caleb, and joining me as always here in the dump are my excited family members. This is Ms. Carla Hardwick.
Hello!
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I've got my crayons out, I've got a coloring page, I'm with my kids. It's a good evening.
Yep, and this is my older brother Noah.
Hello!
And my younger brother Seth.
It really is an exciting day.
Yep. And the reason we're so excited is because we have a very special guest with us this week. Everybody, help me welcome in Charlie Richards.
Hey, Charlie.
Can we call you Charlie? Or do we need to call you Mr. Richards?
Nobody does that.
That's great. So, Charlie, we're really excited to have you here. We've been fans of your work for quite a while, I guess. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and where you are, and that sort of stuff.
Well, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. That one was easy. well, sort of. I guess it's not that easy. I'm in Buford, Georgia, which is near Atlanta. I created Life at the Pond, and we have five videos and a bunch of radio shows.
So the pond, let me explain to make sure if anybody doesn't know, and I'm sure people listening have no idea what we're talking about. The Pond is a video and audio series that was done by you.
By me.
You were the writer and the creator. Did you ever do any voices?
No, once.
You were on one episode.
Yes, I played myself, and I wasn't even convincing playing myself.
Yes. More about that later.
And other than that, I write all kinds of things here and there.
All sorts of things here and there.
Yeah, people will often ask me, people who don't know much about me and they know I'm a writer, they'll say, have you written anything that I've seen? And I tell them, probably, but I can't tell you what, because it's never known.
That's right. It's all over the place. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those situations where you're at a disadvantage because, see, we feel like we know you. We listen to you every Saturday morning.
That's right.
Yeah. But you probably have not listened to us on Saturday morning yet, have you?
Oh, I haven't missed it.
Oh, yeah. He's a big fan, Mom.
Well, there's always this Saturday coming up, you know, if you tune in.
Okay. You never know. We might get syndicated on radio someday in the Buford, Georgia area.
Why not? It has got to happen to somebody somehow, right?
Exactly.
Why not
exactly.
You?
Why not? That's what we've been saying the whole time. Why not us?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a question we like to ask the guests that we have on this podcast, and it's pretty simple. We just like to ask you, how would you describe yourself?
Oh, greatly flawed.
You know, I think he's the first person that said that.
I was going to say, most everyone else says, oh, I'm this or that, or I'm really good at this, or, but he's honest.
I saw a quote, I can't remember, was it Spurgeon? I saw a great quote, and it's one of those that I keep meaning to write down and put on my desk because I can never remember it quite right. But it was something along the lines of, when you think of those people who criticize you and say awful things about you, it's worse than they say.
Oh. Wow.
Ooh.
I know. The concept is, I totally butchered that, but the concept is we are flawed human beings, and it's important to recognize that.
Right.
Now, all that said, I'm a very positive person with a positive outlook, but I never want to overlook the fact that we are flawed human beings.
Yeah. So you're saying like all the hate mail we get on this podcast, like
it's far worse than that.
It's worse than we think.
You're far worse than that.
Oh boy.
Now, probably not because I mean, I know people who do different shows and I've seen some of the mail they get. No, they're not that bad. It's amazing the stuff. People like to do hate mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a little trivia if you're interested. With the pond, there's only one. There's one thing I've gotten multiple complaints about. I've been very surprised over the years. I rarely get complaints.
Is it Floyd's gluttony?
No.
It's not the donuts.
No, strangely not. No, you think that? No, I could see that because parents would be like, "You're making my kid crave donuts."
Exactly.
No, it's. You want to guess anymore? Or you want me to tell you?
that Dr. Holstein's actually a chicken?
No, although I do have 27 chickens of my own.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love you more now, because I have lots of chickens too.
You know what's funny? I'll tell you now. First, let me answer the trivia, and then I'll tell you another interesting thing. It's the music. I get more complaints about the music than anything else. I get people love the music, but I get more, if I ever get a complaint, it's usually about the music being too rocky,
too secular.
It's hilarious.
That is really funny, and it's even got like a little rap in it. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of funny.
Yeah, a guy named Dan Buster does music, and he's just terrific. But on the chicken side, originally, I wanted to do all chickens. I wasn't my creatures were gonna be all chickens.
That'd have been so awesome.
Yeah.
Can we have a new side project? We can call it Life at the Coop.
Ooh.
I already have concept called The Coop, and I would love to do it.
Oh, this would be great.
You should.
We need to like partner on this.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the issue I have is financing, so if you guys should pull out the financing, we're in.
That's well, we have a sponsor every week.
That's our problem, too. So.
Yeah, isn't it always? Now, because, you know, every good product needs somebody on the money side who knows how to make that sort of thing happen, and that is definitely not me.
That's the person we're missing.
That's our problem. Yeah.
Yep,
sure is. So Charlie, you tell us about your family.
I have 5 kids.
Really?
Yes. I have my here are the ages: 18, 16, 13, 11, and 4.
Wow, that's quite a range.
Yes, and the big gap was Jackson, who we call the Are You Kidding Me? I call the Are You Kidding Me baby.
So you're just now reaching the I'm going to enjoy my adult children stage.
Yes. Please tell me they get out of the teen years.
Oh, let me just hang in there. It's pretty awesome. I've got 3 20-somethings now, and it's great to have adult children.
We get to have a podcast together.
Yeah.
Well, I know they would. Now, my 18-year-old is kind of out of that. He's kind of getting into that. Goes from being a kid you're parenting all the time to a kid that you can advise and a kid who can become your friend.
Right.
Which is nice to see. But for the most part, we've been pretty blessed. The kids have been pretty good. But you can definitely tell when the teen years hit, there's a chemical running through their veins that isn't quite right.
Multiple, actually. Yeah.
I think we put Seth in the closet for a few years and just nailed the door shut.
Good.
He's okay now, though.
Well done. You parented correctly.
Yeah.
You locked me in the Lego room.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I did the pond, I kind of had the creatures have age groups.
Right.
Floyd, kind of the youngest. Mm-hmm. I pictured Bill as kind of the tween, and the teen is definitely Tony.
Yeah.
The middle schoolish kind of guy. And of course, then, you know, Methuselah is much, much older.
Of course.
Right. He's the grandpa.
He's somewhere in 900 years old.
Yeah, somewhere in that
really,
that
really
range.
Old grandpa.
Yep. That's great. So, Charlie, you mentioned you've had a really varied writing career. So, I looked at your LinkedIn page, and definitely it kind of goes all over the place. So, you know, what's your claim to fame? What's what have you done in your writing career?
Well, I mean, probably the peak was a primetime sitcom I was writing for on NBC called House Rules, which was my goal, to write for sitcoms. But shortly after I did that, the sitcom started to fade. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was taking over television, and my wife wanted out of LA. And at the time, I was being, and that kind of actually led to the pond, because people kept, for some reason, I could never understand this. The networks kept asking me to pitch children's shows, like Disney and ABC Family, and they were constantly, and Nickelodeon, they were asking me to pitch children's shows. And they kept asking me back, and they kept rejecting everything I sent them. And when I quizzed them, I found out that they were looking for something more edgy, and they didn't like the idea of the parent being part of it. They didn't like any sort of morals being taught. And so my wife said, well, you should just do this on your own.
Just start your own. Gotcha.
That's when I started the pond.
Your wife is wise, very wise.
Yes,
wife.
But she's watched me through this very difficult phase of the career. You know, when you create your own product, it's a hard road.
And about when was that?
That was okay. I started the pond in 2001, and the reason that is very easy for me to remember is I had the day off. I had actually had a week off, and I was working on the very first pond radio episode. I had it mostly done, and was writing in the next episode when I got a phone call from, do you know who Dennis Prager is?
No.
He's a pretty well known talk show host, but he's out of LA. And I was producing his show at the time, and he called me up and said, have you turned on the TV? And I'm like, no.
Oh.
And he said, the Twin Towers are melting before my eyes. And I ended up going back into work that day.
You never forget that.
No. And I had the day off. He had the day off. And we realized there is no day off anytime
soon. Right.
But what was interesting is I had a joke in that first pond episode that I had to remove before it aired. And it was because of 9/11, and the joke, and it was just a throwaway line where Bill makes some comment about being pinned beneath the building.
Oh,
yeah.
Which was no longer funny at all, so I had to edit it out. So that's how it's easy to remember when it all started.
Exactly. Yeah. So the pond has been going. It's still being played, I suspect, on stations, and it's been going now for a good 16, almost 17 years then.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm surprised that we're still on like 450 stations.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. That's great. So if you haven't figured this out yet, we're homeschooled.
Great. Hills Build the Duck.
That's right.
I was going to say.
The finest school in the land, if I recall right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And so because we grew up in that Christian subculture, you know, what really makes your claim to fame for us is that you wrote for Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, you know, that's funny. I completely forgot about that. I didn't write for Adventures in Odyssey. You'd be surprised what I forget. My daughter was with a bunch of her friends. So she plays softball, and the team was asking me, "What have you written for that I've heard of?" I'm like, "I don't know." And my daughter said, "Tom and Jerry." I'm like, I guess I have written Tom and Jerry. And they're like, "Oh yeah, they all knew
that."
Wow!
But I didn't know that one.
Odyssey was a blast. I really like working with Phil Lawler when he was over there running things. It was terrific. I really enjoyed that.
You wrote an episode actually for a live recording.
I think I did. You know what? If you were to ask me what episodes I wrote of Odyssey, I could not tell you.
Well, I could because it's on Adventures in Odyssey Wiki. So
there you go. Is my name on Wiki?
Yeah, if you want to go to AIO Wiki and search Charlie Richards, you can find out exactly what episodes you wrote.
That's funny. I like to tell people I have a very good memory, just very poor recall. And that's a problem. But because sometimes my kids will make jokes and I'll say, where did you get that? And they say, the pond. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I wrote that.
Oh, that's right. I wrote that.
Did you guys listen to Jungle Jam ever?
Briefly here and there, but not much.
Okay. I did some of those and I helped a little bit out on the Little Dog from the Prairie, too. I don't know if you ever saw that video series.
Nope. Missed out on that section of Christian subculture.
But hey, you got Odyssey.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there you go. So the pine. There's like, I don't know, 60-something episodes of the audio version?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's probably, if I remember right, I think I have total stories. I think I have 75-ish, 76.
And then there's 5 DVDs, and then you did a special thing with the Duggars.
Yes. Yes. You want that? Do you want to know how that came about?
Sure. Tell us about how that came about.
What are you going to say? No, we're moving on.
Hey, it's my podcast.
Yeah.
he can always edit it out, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, we're in Arkansas, and so we
yeah, that's right.
We don't know the Duggars personally or anything, but, you know, they're
there's
Arkansas
enough of them.
People
you see
too.
Them here and there, you know.
You know.
They're wonderful people. So what happened was I didn't know that the Duggars were Pond fans. And I watched, before they had their show, when they had just those specials on. And I think they had 15 or 16 kids. When I sent a letter to the Duggars, and I sent them a copy of Googleplex Tuplets.
Right.
It's an episode where Tony talks about all his brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of it. I got a note back, a handwritten thank you. And I thought, what mother of 15 kids have time to write a thank you note? So I didn't think a whole lot of it beyond that. Like a year later, two years later, they've got the show. It's doing well. And I thought about having them in an episode or doing an episode around them. I emailed Jim Bob and got an immediate response. He was all in.
Wow.
So the advantage I had that I didn't realize I had was that they were all Pond fans. I didn't know that. But Josh had introduced them to the Pond years earlier, and they knew my episodes. So we set up a time to drive out there and meet with them. There were some hiccups along the way. We get there. Jill comes out and greets us, plays me her ringtone. It's the Pond theme song.
Of course, homeschoolers.
We were going to record them the next day and then leave town. We ended up staying 3 days, and they made us stay at their house. Which was a lot of fun. Well, I mean, the way that happened, we're sitting on the couch. Jim, Bob, and Michelle had left to get Josie from the hospital for the final time. They finally brought her home for good.
Right.
And so they said, you should stay here. Jill was saying, you stay here. You can sleep in my mom and dad's bed. And I said, I don't want to do that. And you'd have to feel like you have to change sheets. And Jill said, Ginger's already changing them. You're staying here. So
that's great. We need to get them listening to our podcast.
Yeah, we should.
It would triple our average listening audience.
You don't know how you know they might already be listening.
You never know.
Wow, that's quite an experience.
Yeah, it was great. We recorded them. We ended up staying longer for a few more days, and then we've stayed friends ever since then. And in fact, if you've watched more of their episodes, you probably saw when they came out to Atlanta and they stayed at our house.
Oh,
really? I didn't say anything about that.
I didn't either.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So we were in two episodes when they came out here to Atlanta.
Might have to find those. That'd be interesting.
I think I've been in six episodes, but it's a funny thing. My daughter's, again, I mentioned a softball team, and one of the girls on the team, the mom was telling me, oh yeah, she met the Duggars when they were here watching some girl play basketball. And I'm thinking they were watching my daughter play basketball. So she's telling me this story and has no idea. And she's saying, and she names this person who they're watching. I'm like, no, that's not who they were watching. They were here to watch Macy. It was very funny because I tried to sneak them in there. Cause by then at that point, everybody knew who the Duggars were. And I thought I pulled it off. Nobody knew they were there. Well, everybody knew they were there. And I didn't realize that once the game was over, everybody was coming at the Duggars.
I don't think it would be possible to sneak them in anywhere.
Well, I didn't. It wasn't the whole family. It was just the five older girls.
Ah, okay.
Still.
Still, but, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I thought I got them in quietly, but I did not get them out quietly. They stayed and posed for pictures and chatted with people for a long time.
That's great.
But
seem
that's
like
who
great
they
people.
Are. They are wonderful. Yeah. They are wonderful. Very pleasant people.
So we're not quite the fanboys maybe that they would be, but hey, you know what? We have some favorite episodes. Noah, did you ever come up with a favorite episode?
I think I'm going to go with the episode about the narrator's backstory.
Oh, with the chickens.
Yeah.
The narrator story.
That's a great episode.
Oh, yeah. You managed to sneak those chickens into that story.
Yep.
He's always hiccuping. Yeah.
Any other favorites?
Well, my favorite episode is the one you've already mentioned. The one where they broke the fourth wall and went to scold you about your poor writing.
Yeah, that was rude of them.
Oh, I love that episode. But I've always wondered, what's the backstory behind that episode? Or are you just schizophrenic?
You know, all I was trying to do is teach a lesson on laziness. And to always do your best. But it's important to always do your best. And in this case, if I didn't do my best, these people had bad, you know, my characters had bad lines. And so they had to, they did not like that. And they were decided to leave the story, break the script and come find me, which again, that's the only time I was ever in an episode. And I can't listen to it because I don't think I did a very good job. But you know,
well, I think you did a good job. I enjoyed that episode.
Well, thank you. When I write it, I mean, I know exactly how it should sound.
Right.
But when I speak those words, they didn't come out the way I meant them to, which is I gave myself as few lines as possible, because I know I'm not an actor. And the guys I have that do the voice acting on The Pond are such terrific actors that I can't compete. I don't belong in that room. So
I have a question about that episode. You had that line that says that your kids are always, you know, pestering you and begging you to play the episodes over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
Is that a true life experience?
Yes. Yes. And that's one of the reasons why when I started this, I have a lot of jokes for parents.
Right.
Because I know they're going to be stuck in cars or wherever, and the kids will be, or mom's going to be in the kitchen and the kid is watching the episode for the 15th time. And they love it every time because just they'll do that. But parents, if they're bad jokes, it's painful.
Exactly.
So I try to give them a lot. And I had a mom of five who would play it in the car, and she said her all five kids got different jokes and they'd laugh at different times.
Oh yeah, I agree with
yeah.
With exactly. My three sons spread out in age, you know, 3 to 4 years apart. You know, it was funny watching them grow up, and as we would hear the episodes over and over again, they would laugh at something different than what they laughed at before
because right,
they
yeah.
didn't get it the first time.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to hit a range, but I think the way to do that, I'm just not afraid to take a joke in any number of directions and hit any number of age groups. Makes it fun for everybody. That was the goal.
What's awesome is that we still like will occasionally like make Pond references just like out of nowhere. Like if I just went to Seth and was like, you know, like bark, bark, shuck-a-lick, brr. like he knows exactly what I'm doing.
You did that pretty good, Kate.
He did.
Oh, thanks. I do a better Slick the Salamander, actually.
Okay, that leads me to a question about Slick the Salamander. Why is he frequently just randomly say something in the background when he hasn't been in the episode the entire time, and then he just agrees to someone's comment, and then you never hear him again? Like, I agree.
You know, sometimes I just need a character, because I have a line and it doesn't fit my other guys. So here you are.
You just need someone to agree with somebody.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like if you knew Jungle Jam. this would jump out at you. There was a character that I wrote into the very first episode that they did for them, and it was a minor character, and I described his voice, but I didn't have a name for him, and he ended up becoming a major character down the road. And sometimes that's how it happens too. Sometimes you have a voice that doesn't have a character, a voice that doesn't have a name yet, and later it gets a name, and then you hear it later. You hear an episode from before then, and you're like, oh, that's who he became.
I think one of my favorite episodes is where Tony takes over the role of Methuselah for the day, and he goes over to Slick the Salamanders, and he's having to carry up pianos up to the very top of the tree. Yeah.
I assume it's a full-size piano, too.
Oh, yeah. They got to be grand pianos.
Exactly.
It was a grand.
Yeah. It was a grand. Slick the Salamander collect grand pianos anyway.
And he just moves them around. Wait on, Al.
Yeah. Hey, Alligator.
Yeah.
40-foot yacht needs a tow.
Hey, we got one. Nice.
I just wonder, what influence did your wife have in the Pollywog episode? Where she kept giving birth and giving birth and giving birth to all
None.
Those Pollywogs.
Well,
oh, really?
No.
I could just hear a female voice in there somewhere.
Well, you know, for what I do, I have to be able to write female voices. I don't always nail them, but you have to be able to do every kind of voice. But I'll tell you where she does show up would shock you, and that is Floyd's love of sweets.
Ah, okay. So that's where it comes from.
That's where the donuts.
Mm-hmm. Now,
the chocolate.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
The chocolate.
Fact,
the chocolate. We
were just in Charleston, South Carolina, and we walked into a really nice bakery, and the first question my wife asked is, "What kind of chocolate do you use on these cakes?" And the girl looked at us like, "I don't know." And it matters to my wife. She knows her sweets, and she knows them well. And so when I was thinking about Floyd's love of sweets, when I was thinking about Floyd, I put her love of sweets in Floyd.
Ah,
and then,
that's
and
great.
Then my daughter was that way when she was young. She was Floyd in so many ways. My first daughter, oh my goodness, so many ways. Now she's Tony.
So which character do you relate to most then?
That's a good question. Okay, that's funny. I've never thought about that. there's a part of me that I have to control that is Tony.
Right.
There's a part of me that I wish as I were, and that is Methuselah.
Definitely.
Everyone, you know, longs to be Methuselah.
Yeah, yeah. You
it's
be
a work in progress.
The advice
Even
to
Tony, he tried it once.
Yeah, I want to sound like Methuselah. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's that voice is a little bit EQ'd, so you'd have to walk around EQ'd to nail it.
Hey, I can do that. I edit this podcast. You know?
There you go. You can EQ yourself.
You edit it to sound like Methuselah the whole episode.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, let's do a podcast.
Yeah, something like that.
I think Noah had a Bill the Duck question he wanted to ask.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you have a pet duck. Now that I know you have pet chickens, I'm even more interested because I'm just wondering if you have any personal experience with ducks that you built the character of Bill around, or did you just make it all up?
Yes and no. I had a duck as a kid in an apartment.
Wow.
I can't explain that. My mom would have to try to explain that to you, but I did have a duck. Again, the beginning of this was they were going to all be chickens. I love the idea of them all being chickens. I saw some drawings of I had these drawings somewhere of a chicken that inspired the whole concept. And the problem was Chicken Run came out while I was working it out, and I thought, oh great, this is such a popular movie, there's going to be Chicken Run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There never was a 2.
Sadly, there never was.
I know.
I don't know. We might be lucky.
If I had known it was going to stop there, they would have been chickens. So ducks were, you know, duck was the next thing that I thought would be fun to play with. And I also thought, okay, I want a pond. I want a body of water that they kind of all congregate to and around. And so then I started thinking through what kind of animals would come to the water. And that's when I got the group of them. An alligator would be eating the rest of them, but...
Not Methuselah. Well. You know.
No, not Methuselah.
If you wrote that in, that'd have been a little...
He does eat meat.
It's been a short...
Yeah, it is kind of weird that he eats hamburger, but not the other creatures there.
Processed hamburger. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I, for one, am grateful for all the humor that you've included in the pond over the years.
Thanks.
Because it's... It inspires a lot of the things that we do. Like I was trying to think of some of the times, like there's been a lot of subtle references to the pond in our podcast here and there. For instance, like anytime I just need like a random name for whatever reason, I always pick Floyd. like if I do it, like, yeah, if I'm writing something, like I just need a name, like, okay, Floyd will do. So we have like an episode where he's like Floyd's big white buffalo.
Episode of what?
Episode of this podcast.
Oh, okay. I mean, I thought for a moment there that you were writing characters.
Yeah. It's a screenplay I'm writing about Floyd's big white buffalo. but in another episode, I needed a biker guy, and so I used the name Bongo.
Bongo.
So he's Bongo, the pack leader of the tractor gang, which is a reference to. Let's see. That's the episode about Tony's sister, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, did you do the breaking news from history?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, in like a couple episodes ago, we were talking about like something that'd be fun, and we're like, oh, it'd be fun if we had like a breaking news segment, and Noah is like, oh yeah, we should do the thing where like the toaster's in the background or whatever.
And it's just, what's that noise?
We didn't actually do that, but that would have been fun.
Oh, you didn't know they were such junkies, did you?
Yeah.
Life at the pond junkies.
you know what? You'd be surprised. There are times when I will meet somebody and they know every episode. They know everything, every character, every line. Because when kids, you know this, when kids start listening to it, a lot of them will listen every night.
Mm, right.
Yeah.
My son, Noah, listened to it for probably a good solid 10 years. And so did then my daughter. Right now, my 11-year-old listens to it constantly. If I'm trying to remember an episode or something about an episode, I call her in the room.
That's great.
Yeah, so yeah, they're out there. And it's kind of fun to meet them, and it's really strange when I hear the phrase, my kids grew up on the pond.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I forget sometimes how long it's been around.
Hey, I got a question for you here. A little bit off topic, but what's your favorite style of French fries?
Waffles.
All right.
Now, I do like steak fries. You asked the right guy. I love fries.
Oh, good. You fit in very well here.
Might come visit.
You come
hey,
on.
Hey, you're welcome.
I want steak fries, waffle fries. I like the Red Robin steak fries.
Well, you know, you aren't the first person to say that on this podcast. Somebody else said that. Who was it?
I think that was Josh.
And then I like the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, yes.
There you go. See, we agree.
100%. In fact, I've always hoped that the pond could do some connection with Chick-fil-A, but
that'd have been great.
It's very funny. I long, long ago, I contacted Chick-fil-A and asked about that. And the guy, in a very nice, but very clear way, said, call me when you're somebody.
Oh, wow. Wow. Did you tell him you wrote for Adventures in Odyssey?
I didn't think to play that card.
You were too humble for that.
Too humble.
I'm going to ask you an actual serious question for just a second.
Ooh.
Now, if you had a hypothetical son who was maybe about 23 years old and just happened to be named Jaleb, not that I'm referring to anyone in this room here or anything, who is very gifted with his words and likes to write and create things. Would you have any wisdom to share with him about how to speak truth in a fake news world?
Sorry, I don't do hypotheticals.
Oh, well.
Listen, that's not easy. But I think in this day and age, there's some excitement and some energy in being a forceful, countercultural Christian, which is funny because when I grew up, countercultural culture, were the James Deans of the world.
Right. It was a bad thing.
Now believers are countercultural.
Yeah,
that's right.
Stick with truth. Stick with truth, and it will. Great things will happen, and it'll also cause some awful problems. But those are problems you want, as opposed to the success of the world that is more empty than anyone could possibly know. So then I know a lot of people going against the grain in this culture, and it's worth it. It's worth it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate you answering that one for my hypothetical son.
Well, it's not easy. Let me tell you a real quick story. Probably short on time, but you can edit out everything else. When I first got a job on a sitcom, I'd been working a year. I was told it would take 5 years to break in. It took me 5 years and 1 month. So I finally get a job on a show. And I'm working for a guy named Chris Thompson, very well known in the industry as a bad boy among bad boys. And on the drive over, I knew there was going to be a time when my faith would be challenged, and I wanted to be up for the challenge. So I just prayed, Lord, make it obvious. Don't let me mess up on something small. Please make it clear to me when I have to make a stand. So I get there day one. And the boss calls everybody in the room. He's all excited. He just got this video he wants us to see, and he pops it in and he starts it. And it is a combination of porn and faces of death. And I got up and I walked out. And I thought, well, thank you, Lord. You made that easy. I walked out and Chris stops me. The executive producer stops me on the way and said, where are you going? And I said, I cannot watch this. And I walked out. And I sat in the lobby thinking, I'm fired. I spent all this time trying to break in, and I'm going to be fired on day one. Quite the contrary, he respected me more than everybody else in that room. And that surprised me. That really surprised me. But from day one...
That's kind of a Daniel story.
Yeah, although, I won't go down in history quite as nicely. But it was nice because then everybody knew where I stood. Everybody understood, okay, he's a Christian. He's a believer. He takes it seriously enough to where he was willing to get fired over this. And he, being a rebel and a bad boy among bad boys, saw me as a rebel.
Hmm.
But in a very different way.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up with basically this final question. Where are the pond characters today? What are they up to?
Do you mean the actual creatures?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. What?
I mean, Caroline's what, like 24 by now? Or
they are frozen in time.
Oh. Like Han Solo? Or?
I always envisioned maybe they filled the pond in, built a subdivision on it, and Caroline lives in the subdivision with her three kids.
No, sorry. Caroline, by the way.
Okay.
The funny thing is her dad, the actual actress's dad, wrote a bunch of movies, including Rio and Santa Claus 2. It's funny that.
Interesting piece of trivia there.
There's a real Caroline and a real dad?
The girl is based upon a real Caroline.
Oh.
Who, by the way, another piece of trivia for you, was once on the cover of TV Guide.
Huh.
Wow.
That is interesting.
Now, your sons might be wondering what's a TV guide.
Well, yeah, but but the you say the pond characters are frozen in time. Are they ever going to be unfrozen?
They are periodically, yes.
Periodically.
So there's hope for more.
I actually have a video episode written, but I haven't. I have to get the funding for that to make it happen.
I think we need to start a Kickstarter here.
Yes.
Well, actually, you know what? I put together everything for the Kickstarter except for the video. And the other thing was the company that did my fifth video, which I really like, they're out of South Africa. They got a $1 billion deal with China, and now I can't afford them. So I do have to find another animating company. So I'm working on that.
So I have one question about the characters being frozen in time. So you're telling me that the narrator...
They're not frozen. They're just they're living out their lives.
Living out their lives.
And they don't age.
They just don't age. So since while the pond's not being produced, is the narrator working in the chicken coop? Does he go back to answering the phone?
No. He's narrating, but it's not as interesting at the moment.
Ah, okay.
You know, we just need to put the word out on the homeschool market that he's looking for some animators. I know there's some talented homeschoolers out there that could probably jump in and take it over.
It would be lovely. It would be amazing because it's an expensive process.
Right.
That's
sure.
The animation is by far the bulk of the expense.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. It's not easy.
What about radio episodes? Any more of those coming?
Now, the radio is difficult too because, like, I'll give you for instance, when we did the Duggar episode, it was for radio. It was an audio episode only. And the Duggar, when they did, when that hit the TV, when that episode aired, and I figured this would probably happen, and it took me a few months to figure it out, but I had my numbers pretty darn accurate. I realized I'm probably not going to sell a lot of audio because people just don't buy audio, but they do buy videos. But I thought at least we'll sell a bunch of Duggar audio, and then it'll help sell the videos. That's not what happened. The Duggar episode aired, people wanted the videos. Strangely enough, I still have audio CDs, probably a couple thousand of them, from when that episode aired that haven't sold because people, the Duggar fans, were more interested in the video episodes without the Duggars than the audio episodes with them.
Wow.
Well, it sounds like you need to use those as like your kickbacks for your Kickstarter campaign.
You get the limited edition.
Yeah. I can get the Duggars to autograph that. I hadn't thought about that. They'd do that for me.
You get all of them
on one CD. Gotta use tiny little.
Well,
print.
You just give that away as like a higher up kickback.
Yeah, there you go.
Might work.
Well, they've been very supportive, so I'm sure they'll help out. But yeah, I'd love to get the Kickstarter. I'd love to get that moving, but again, I've got to get the animation nailed down, and then I've got to finish the video. But everything else on it, I've actually started to put together the Kickstarter.
In the meantime, what have you moved on to?
Well, I've done a lot of different writing. I wrote a book for somebody just recently, and may do another. I've done a couple, like I mentioned before, Tom and Jerry episodes, strangely enough, which is funny because I tend to write, comedy and I like dialogue. These are creatures that don't talk and they do slapstick, which is really not my...
Okay. Did you say something about a book? Did you write a book?
I've ghostwritten books for other people.
Okay, ghostwritten books for other people. All right. I was going to say... I was going to say promote your book, but maybe you don't want to do that since you ghost wrote the book.
Well, I did help the Duggar girls with their book. But the one that I'm also, I almost forgot about this. I got contacted today by a publisher about doing pawn books. Now, I've had a pawn book written for many years, and I've been looking for the right opportunity to make that work. I don't know that kids read ebooks when they're little, but that's the cheapest way to go. But with a publisher, I may end up going the route of a regular book, which would be nice. I think kids like to have that in their hands.
Right, definitely.
And parents like to be able to read it to them. And I don't know that ebooks are interesting for a 4-year-old or 8-year-old.
And hopefully every library in the country would buy one.
That'd be nice. That's all I ask is for everybody to buy one.
All 300-something million Americans.
Yeah,
that's all I ask.
That'd be great.
And you only have to buy one. That's all. But if everybody would buy one.
So there you go, everybody. I just want to let y'all know that you should definitely go buy all Charlie's stuff, support him on this upcoming Kickstarter or whatever it's going to be, and definitely go check out lifeatthepond.com, I think, right?
Yep, that's it.
That's it. So, Charlie, do you have any final words for us?
This is fairly random, a piece of advice that I give my kids, and I would tell it to any married couple, fight fair.
Okay.
Don't. Okay. And here's the bottom. I know it's a little off topic. Seek truth more than you seek to be right.
Wow.
Or to win an argument.
Profound. Oh,
we have had some really good advice from our guest here lately. I think we should just not say anything tonight because our advice is always bad.
That's great. Well, Charlie, we want to thank you so much for coming and hang out with us tonight. And we definitely are looking forward to anything else you might be doing in the future. So,
thanks. My pleasure. I've enjoyed you guys. You're a lot of fun.
Hey, come see us sometime.
All right, everybody, just want y'all to remember to stay safe and don't be stupid. We'll talk to everybody next week. See you later.
Later, alligator.
Bye-bye.